It was at the age of 33 years old that Christine Kane first found out that she was adopted. It took Christine Kane by surprise because she had absolutely no idea that this was so. Nothing had ever been clued to her or said to her or even suggested to Christine by her adopted family to indicate that this was the case of her status with them. When Christine finally discovered the government paperwork regarding her adoption, she found some very disturbing statements and terminologies in the midst of those documents that damaged her emotionally. As the 33-year-old Christine Kane read through those adoption documents that delineated the terms, the circumstances, and the conditions of her adoption, she discovered in those papers that, according to what the papers said, she had been unnamed and unwanted by her biological mother. To make matters worse, Christine discovered this devastating news during one of the most important moments of her life. You see, Christine was in the process of applying to a Christian university to fulfill her lifelong God-given vision of becoming a youth minister. At the same time, she discovered those government documents describing the terms of her adoption as unnamed and unwanted. At that same time, she got in the mail her rejection letter from her university dream job stating that she was unqualified. Now, most people who would have endured these circumstances, they might have gone in the tank. They might have gotten depressed, gotten angry, resorted to drugs, alcohol, or illicit relationships as coping mechanisms for the guilt, the pain, the despair, and the shame that they were enduring. But this was not the case for Christine. You see, Christine was a Christian, and a good one. And as a Christian, Christine had spent most of her life not only studying the Word of God, but applying it to her life by faith and by trust in every circumstance. And so it was that in this particular low point circumstance of her life, filled with doubt and discouragement, filled with despair, Christine clung to an old familiar verse that she had known from quite some time. During this low point in her life, the Holy Spirit had brought this particular verse to her remembrance. It's the verse that Joseph Marcano read to us today in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, Christine found comfort and solace from these words that came for her Amplified Bible, and it says this: "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Can you say amen?
Amen.
Christine was in the midst of a whirlwind of sentiments. She was tumbling through a tumult of negative emotions that were going on in her life, and Christine could have easily decided to go with the flow of what she felt, buying into and believing all of the things that the world had told her and what the world said about her. Christine could have believed the black and white writing on those official government documents which declared her as unnamed, unwanted, unqualified, and to paraphrase it, unloved. Christine could have sought comfort and approval in illicit means and unsanctified measures, but this is what Christine chose. She chose to believe in the words of God and to find comfort in the counsel of his testimony. And this is God's testimony to Christine, That before she was formed, that before she was born, that before she was unnamed, before she was unwanted, before she was unqualified, before she was unloved by the world that she knew, she was approved of by the God of all creation. So this is what Christine did, Chandler Church. Christine held on to, she clung to that promise by faith. And Christine Kane went on to become a popular Christian evangelist with a worldwide growing ministry. Today I want you to know, Chandler Church, that God's testimony for Christine, which was first presented to Jeremiah, it is the same for all of you who will believe and receive it today. But the reason I mentioned Christine's testimony this morning, her story, is because her Christian experience, it is the exception and not necessarily the norm. Most Christians who would have discovered that they were adopted or unnamed or unloved or supposedly unqualified, we would have reacted in a much different manner than Christine, who had not only been taught the Word of God, but she did this. She applied it to her life by faith. Most of us, unlike Christine, we spend the better part of our life in church learning God's Word, but we fail daily to apply the principles of God's promises to our situations and our circumstances. For Christine, living her life by faith in Jesus' promises, by believing what Jesus said about her on a daily basis, that empowered her to receive strength from the Holy Spirit in the midst of her depression, it enabled Christine to have strength to act on what the Word of God promised towards her, and it allowed her to deliver herself from her own despair by resting on the sweet and precious promises of God in Scripture. And just in case you might think today, Chandler Church, that I'm oversimplifying the solution, don't think that all of Christine's troubles ended simply by the application of one memory verse in this instance of difficulty. You see, that's not the end of the story. Christine still had to face the familial fallout from the confrontation she was going to have when dealing with her adopted parents who had been dishonest with her. And in that confrontation, Christine had to make a choice to forgive. She had to choose to be understanding. She had to choose to believe that they had her best intentions in mind. And in that instance, Christine had to find herself clinging again to and seeking solace in the power that is to be found in the Word of God. It was this particular verse that Christine clung to as she had that conflict with her family. It is the 10th verse in the 27th Psalm, where God tells us that when our father and our mothers forsake us, the Lord Himself will take us up. Amen. That wasn't the end of the story. Christine had also done further research on her biological mother, only to discover that her biological mother lived nearly a few minutes away from her where she had grown up her entire life. So Christine made this choice. She made this decision. She made a choice to reach out to her biological mother to try and establish a relationship, to forgive her and build a bond and a rapport. She located her mother. She reached out to her, and Christine's sorrow was worsened when she discovered that her biological mother refused to meet with her and told her she did not want to have any part in her life. At this juncture in her life, 33 years old, everything that Christine had learned, everything that Christine had been taught as a Christian, it was being tested, it was being tried in the most difficult of practical personal applications. Do you hear me today? Christine was being bombarded by feelings of doubt and despair and discouragement and inadequacy. So she again decided to go to the only source of her hope and consolation. So she found another verse that she could apply to her life by faith. And it's this one here that she found in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. What a good God we serve. But check this out, Chandler Church. As Christine Kane continually found herself relying upon God's word in her times of despair and distress, she was able to continually affirm that God had a plan for her life. That her life was not a mistake. That God's love, God's care, God's grace towards her, God's affection, it qualified her for whatever it was she could face in this life, despite what this life would say about her. Amen. Because Christine was able to mold her mind, her character, and her personality based upon that which the Word of God said and not the world, the devil was defeated in his plan and his attempt to try and destroy her. But listen to me this morning. Understand this, Chandler Church. The plan that the devil had for Christine Kane is the same that he has for you and I. It is his hope that the pain from our past will cause us to cave in emotionally. That the pain from our past will create in us an anger, a despair, an insecurity so intense that it forces us to rely on anything and everything but God for our peace of mind and our solace. I know at Chandler Church, I understand today that some of you have gone through divorce and abuse and abandonment and mistreatment, but despite learning the Word of God for most of our lives, instead of being emboldened by those promises, we find ourselves becoming embittered. And instead of believing God, we resort to blaming our environment and those who are around us for our lack of happiness. Do you hear me this morning? We are Christians in a secular world. And although we are saved by grace through faith, I believe this about Christians in a secular world. I believe that people who are worldly are more impressed by our actions than our words. And for that reason, today, Christine Kane's witness proved to the world around her and Christians in her faith that she really believed the words of God to her. It was Christine Kane's stability in the midst of her trial that stands as an encouraging example to you and to I that the good news of the gospel to be found in this book is more powerful than any bad news that the world can bring upon us. Do you understand that today? The promises of God in this book, they are our origin, they are our destination, they are our identity. And if we don't hold on to that identity, Chandler Church, by applying the promises of God to our lives on a daily basis, the devil will do absolutely everything he can to rob us of them. Do you hear me this morning? For those of us who are Seventh-day Adventist Christians in our congregation today, you prophetic Bible scholars know and understand that Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, describes the devil, the adversary, in this way, that he is the accuser of the brethren, that he accuses us before God day and night. Understand this, saints of God. Understand this, daughters and sons of the King. As a defeated foe who has already lost, the devil has one purpose and one mission. That is to deceive us, to distort, and to undermine the truth of the victory that God has already freely given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Day and night, this is what he does. He does his best to find a false worldly witness which will testify to you and me that we are unnamed, we are unwanted, we are unqualified, and we are unloved sinners. He's a liar. Day and night, this is what he does. He does everything he can to bring to our remembrance the pain, the shame, the hurt, and the wounding that we have experienced early in our life. And he does so for the express purpose of enlisting us to join him in blaming others for our unhappiness, accusing them for how we feel instead of us believing in what God has told us in his word. Do you hear me today? According to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, blame, accusation, and allegation, they are the devil's primary instruments of destruction. And instead of doing it all by himself, this is what he knows. He knows that many hands make light work. So this is what he wants. He wants you and he wants me to join him. He wants us to join him in what he does best, and that is to blame God and to blame others for the unhappiness that we feel, as opposed to living by faith in the promise of God's favor, knowing that we are approved of in the sight of God. Hallelujah. There are those of you here today who have been divorced, you have been abused, you have been abandoned, you have been mistreated, and you are dealing with the emotional fallout that you may feel from what you have been dealing with. But I submit this to us today, Chandler Church. It is time for us to make a healthy transition in our thinking. It is time to allow for the transformation of our mind so that our mind does not become conformed to the ways of this world, nor to the spirit of the adversary who is constantly trying to impede the process of us reaching and fulfilling our God-given potential. If you don't believe me, you Bible scholars out there will recall that in a journey which was supposed to take only 11 days, Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And because they wandered, they did so because they murmured, they complained, they blamed, and they accused both Moses and God of mistreating them. They chose to do that instead of living by faith in the promise of God's favor. Instead of rejoicing in the salvation that God had miraculously provided by bringing them out of their bondage in Egypt. And I believe today, Chandler Church, I believe that some of us are still in a wilderness experience because we have placed more belief in what the world has said to us, what the world has said about us, or what the world has done to us. We spend more time focusing on how we perceive ourselves to have been wronged by this world, as opposed to living by faith in the promise of God's favor. Some of us haven't had that promised land experience in our Christian walk of faith because we surround ourselves with negativity of our past. Wendell, advance my slide. We constantly blame others. We constantly condemn others while we focus on what we've gone through as opposed to where God promised to take us. And just like those who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, we find ourselves wandering through our spiritual experience, wondering why it's not working. I believe this is why it's not working. Wendell and Randy, I need you to advance my slide. This is why it's not working. I have this quotation here from Dr. Dwayne Dwyer, who is an accomplished motivational speaker, and this is what he says. He says, and I quote him, "All blame," he says, I quote, "all blame is a waste of time. No matter how much fault you find with another, and regardless of how much you blame him or her, it will not change you. You may succeed in making another person feel guilty about something by blaming him or her, but you won't succeed in changing whatever it is about you that makes you unhappy," end quote. Hear me today, Chandler Church. Blame does not help us, nor does it help the other party. What it does is this: it keeps us doing the devil's work of accusing day and night. Do you hear me? Instead of giving God the glory and the adoration that he is due. But when we do this, Chandler Church, when we let go of blame and when we find it in our heart to forgive, it is not only freeing, it is freedom. that allows the love of Jesus Christ to connect with our lives, to shine through us, and it allows us to affirm that God affirms of us, that God, before He formed us in our mother's womb, He sanctified us, He set us apart, and He approves of who we are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, Chandler Church, but I believe this with all my heart, that that approval of God towards us in Christ, it's far greater than any trial, far greater than any tribulation that you and I could face in this world. Do you believe it today? That's what Paul believed. That's what Paul affirmed to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Paul said this to us. He said, I am persuaded, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, powers nor principalities, things present nor things to come, height nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves and affirms you. You are approved of. Can you say amen? And Paul understood, Chandler Church, that instead of choosing guilt, blame, accusation, or shame, we should choose the love of God in Christ, freely given, promised, and affirmed through these promises in this book we study daily. Make a choice. Make a choice today. Choose God's love over accusation, blame, discouragement, doubt, and depression. Choose the promise of God's love. And as you make that choice, do this. Start by choosing to love and forgive yourself. Start by making a choice today, Chandler Church, to live by faith in the promise of God's favor towards you. Knowing and affirming that there's nothing that you've done, nothing that you've said in your past, nothing that has been done or said to you that can stop you from receiving the love of God into your life at any time and changing your life for the better. He can do it today. Do you understand me? As we close today, Chandler Church, as we finish and conclude, I want to consider among us today three practical principles that we can apply for the renewal and the transformation of our mind. Three practical principles that will allow us to effectively embrace God's approval of us and forgive those who have wounded us as we go on to find faith in God's favor. Write these down if you have a pen with you today. These three practical principles. Number one is this. Mark this down and remember this for your pastor, would you? Number one, no one but yourself is responsible for your own personal happiness. Did you hear what I said today? Write this down. No one but yourself is responsible for your own personal happiness. That's principle number one. And I understand, Chandler Church, I hear you, I know it, I'm with you. Some of us have been abused, some of us have been mistreated, some of us have been maligned and unloved, unwanted. And although others may have wronged us, because of that, we, myself included, we want to make them responsible for our sadness as well. Hear me now. We cannot be responsible for others' actions towards us, but we are responsible for how we respond. Very often we are wounded. We want to kick in the pants the one who wounded us, right? Hear me now. If we could kick in the pants the person who is most responsible for all of our sorrow, the reality is that we would not be able to sit down for a month. Principle number one, write it down. Don't you forget it as we move on. No one but yourself is responsible for your own personal happiness. Can you say amen today? Amen. Principle number two, write this one down, jot it as we apply this to our lives. Number two is this, hurting people hurt people. But as Christians, we are called to heal those who hurt us. Did you hear what I said? That's radical. They talk about radical Islam, this is radical love. Write this down. Number two is hurting people hurt people. But as Christians, we are called to heal those who hurt us. Now notice I said this. We are called to heal them, not to blame them. Not to accuse them. Not to condemn them for their sins. Understand this, Chandler Church. We cannot follow Jesus Christ's example and not be wounded. You understand that? That's what he told us. If they persecute me, they will persecute you. We cannot follow Jesus Christ's example and not be wounded. And here's the challenge, and it's a tough one. It's easier to preach and to talk about than to put into practice. But this is the challenge. As hurting Christians, to try and heal, transform those who have hurt us. We've already seen it today. We've studied it from God's Word. God wants to change and transform people. The devil wants to blame and accuse and condemn them. British author Douglas Noel Adams, he once said this. He said, and I quote, "When you blame others, you give up your power to change." When you blame others, you give up your power to change. I believe this. I believe he's right. And I believe that when we go down a path of blame and accusation, we give up our power not only to change ourselves, but when we become condemnatory like Lucifer, we give up our power that Christ has given us to heal others. Do you understand me today? So write that down. You remember it. Number two, hurting people will hurt people. But as Christians, we are called to heal those who have hurt us. Number three, the last is this. Write this down. This is important to know. People who feel shame are often foremost to place blame. People who feel shame are often foremost to place blame. Understand this, Chandler Church. People who have a shame-based nature, very often they resort to blaming other people. And they do so in order to divert the attention they feel, the guilt they feel from themselves for a period of time. That's what they do. And the shame may be from how they were treated or the way that they perceive themselves because of their treatment. But this is the reality. We cannot hide from the reality of our experience. What has happened to us has happened. We cannot run from it. We cannot hide from it. We cannot put it under a cover. We must confront it by the promises we find in the Word of God. We must live by faith in what God says about us, what God says He will do to us, and not what the world has said or done. Do you believe that today? And until we confront those painful experiences with the promises that we find in God's Word, the shame, the guilt that we bear on our shoulders, it will poison our attitude, it will poison our interaction, and it will poison our relationships with other people. This is what the Apostle John told us in regards to the guilt that we find and we feel. Do you apply this promise to your life? He says this, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. And He knows all things. Hallelujah. You see, I think that's good news. But it's no news if we don't apply it to our lives when we start to get borne down with guilt and shame and pain. When the devil comes upon us and he reminds us of all the ways we've been hurt or have hurt other people, and he tells us that we are unloved, unnamed, and unworthy, we have to run to the truth of God's Word, which is the only reality that we can cling to, and understand that God has forgiven us, that Jesus paid the price for what we've done on the cross. And in Him we are the righteousness of God. As it pertains to those who have wounded us and the guilt that they feel. This is what Jesus says to us, Chandler Church, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 45. The Lord that we say that we love, the Lord that we say that we believe, the Lord that we say we believe that we trust, He says this to us, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I command you." It's a command like the ten. "I command you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Did you hear him? "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. Because he causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He causes his rain to rain on the righteous and the unrighteous as well." Understand this, Chandler Church. We feel guilt. And whether they admit it or not, those who wound us feel guilt as well. But God has given us the privilege of giving them healing, giving them mending, and giving them consolation by us praying and ministering to them. I say we take them up on that offer. Amen. As we understand principle number three, people who feel shame are foremost to place blame. Let's give them the good news of Christ Jesus' love. Can you say amen today? Christine Kane, who we mentioned at the beginning of our message, is the pastor of Equip and Empower Ministries and founder of the A21 campaign, a global ministry made to combat human trafficking. Christine Kane reached and achieved her God-given potential through the personal discovery that if she was worth loving, and she was, then so are those who had previously wounded her. Christine Kane, Chandler Church, may have never had the opportunity to meet her biological parents, but more importantly, by her words and by her actions, she demonstrated that she was a daughter of the living God. Amen. That she was a conduit for change and transformation. Not shame, but change that Jesus wants to bring on the world. I pray, Chandler Church, that it would be the same for us today. Can you say amen?